This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue working our way through Psalm 119 with Great Spoil and a Lost Sheep. And then we move to Psalm 120 through 122 with I Am for Peace, He Who Keeps Israel, and I Was Glad. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For He is the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Gathered us in the true faith.
Oh, come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise.
The Lord has gathered us in the true faith.
Thank you. A reading from Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned. There is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig that my soul desires. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of your watchmen, of your punishment, has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
both seeking things like peace, for order, for success, for glory. They want those things for the community and for the lives around them. However, because of the way that they seek it, either oriented towards self or oriented towards God, the results become opposite. They become completely different. Now, why do I mention this with Augustine? Because Micah, in the previous chapter, explains the issue that's going on, which, politically speaking, Assyria, a very dangerous army, is coming down upon the northern kingdom and is gesturing towards perhaps the southern kingdom. In other words, Micah would have had every excuse to look at this as a political or a military or an economic issue. But that's not the way that Micah goes about it. And in fact, in chapter 5, two chapters earlier than we're reading here, he describes Assyria, and then in the very next verse, he immediately moves to Nimrod. So he speaks of Assyria, which is the present-day issue, but then he attaches it to the ancient issue of Nimrod, who did build the ancient city of Assyria, but also the ancient city, likely, of Babel or Babylon. In other words, Micah is plugging in the temporal issue that he's dealing with to a broader issue and theme that we see woven throughout the scriptures, which is there is the city of man, there is Babel, Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Persia, Greek, Rome, perhaps even the U.S. today. There is the orientation of us falling in this world to seeking out for ourselves and to tempting God, and this is the spiritual issue that leads to the sin and the distortion that Micah engages in. So, as we see this, our takeaway here at the beginning is that as we look at what's wrong in this world, we lead immediately into looking at it, biblically speaking, at looking to what is spiritually cancerous and what is spiritually distorting that leads to the external. So how does this play out? Well, we see this again if you go to chapter 6, the previous chapter, that before Micah is going to get to the disintegration of the community, the disintegration of the family, kind of the old sin that's being described here in Micah chapter 7, back in chapter 6, he begins with something else, and he begins with forgetfulness. In other words, in verse 3, he says, listen, God brought you up out of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of slavery. You have forgotten this, and because you have forgotten this, the problems have followed. This is a strong theme in the Bible. For instance, if we go to Psalm 106, which we'll get back to as well, Psalm 106 is a great psalm that talks about kind of the downward spiral of Israel. And what the psalmist does is he kind of goes through the history of Israel and shows how things move from great times down to the worst of times. And the first step that Psalm 106 says is you have forgotten what God has done. You forgot what God did in Canaan, you forgot what God did in Egypt, you forgot what God did in Passover. You forgot these things, and that was the first mistake. In the same way in Exodus 20, when we're given the Ten Commandments, before we're given any of God's law, the very first thing is to remember what the Lord your God has done. Remember that he brought you up out of Egypt. In other words, as we move toward brokenness and disintegration, the first step in that direction is always a forgetfulness of God. It's a forgetfulness of what he has done, of his abundance, of his covenant, of his promises, of the ways that he delivers what he has accomplished in our lives. Forgetfulness is the first step. What's the second step? Well, we see this, historically speaking, we see this in Psalm 106, that once we forget God's goodness, we seek after other things to replace God. See this in Psalm 106, where they turn to the golden calf, where they turn to the desires of their belly. In other words, when God is removed, we seek after other things to take his place, and then those things eventually own us, they eventually move us, and they eventually distort our desires. Where does this lead? This leads, then, to the depravity and the brokenness. In other words, this is what leads in Psalm 106 to the actual sacrificing of their own sons and daughters to demons, on the altars of the Baals. Psalm 106 says we start with forgetfulness and we end with sacrificing our own children. There's a present application of that, by the way. Also, if you turn to Micah 7, what do we hear in Micah 7? Well, we see that the godly perish from the world, no one walks upright, they lie in wait for blood, the prince and the judge ask for bribes, there's injustice, you can't trust your neighbor, you may not even be able to trust your spouse. In other words, this depravity and brokenness, where does it begin? With a loss of thankfulness, forgetting what God has done. Other things take its place, and when that happens, those things own, they move us, they distort us, and they break us. So what's the answer? Well, if you read in verse 7, the last four verses, that Micah says, listen, this is terrible, the world's crumbling, culture is broken. But you know what? As for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In other words, Micah is able to turn to something which usurps these earthly powers. Some kind of heavenly kingdom and heavenly power that he is anticipating will come in and remedy and make these things right. In other words, what he's able to see is something like Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And one of the most interesting points that I find in kind of that whole narrative is that at the very beginning it says that Jesus entered into Jerusalem through Bethpage, the Mount of Olives. In other words, Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and by the way, he's going from Jerusalem into the temple. And where does he do? He enters into the east side. Now, why is that? Well, if we go back to Ezekiel, if we go back to one of these Old Testament visions, looking to a hope of the future, like what Micah is looking to, we find that Ezekiel sees that there's a time where the Spirit leaves in the temple, where the presence and the glory of God is gone. But then there's a later time that returns. And when it returns, what do we see? That when the Spirit comes back, a crack forms in the east side of the temple. What comes out of that side? A little sprinkle of water, and you can barely see it. In other words, it doesn't look like it's doing much. It's not going to make you step to the side of the road. But then Ezekiel is kind of beckoned on, and he falls. When we see that the little stream, the sprinkle, becomes kind of a bigger stream. Then it becomes a river. Then it becomes a deep river that you basically have to swim in, and eventually it goes all the way out to the Jordan. Or not to the Jordan, sorry, to the Red Sea. And then what does Ezekiel notice? That as that water that comes out of the side of the temple sprinkles out all the way to the Red Sea, what happens with this death and this decay, this degradation, all of this brokenness and results of sin begin to be healed. What do we see? We see light starting to flourish. We see fish coming back into the sea. We see greenery coming back and trees coming up where there's fresh fruit that's supporting sustenance and healing. In other words, what does Ezekiel see in future tense? That those that put their hope in God will find that flowing from the temple will be something that brings about healing and restoration. What do we see? Well, we see that there Jesus enters in from the east side, goes to the temple, clears the temple out so that there's nothing there, so that a few days later, he himself, the temple taken on flesh, may go to the cross, give up his life, have his very side pierced, so that out of the side of that new incarnate temple will flow what? The water and blood, the healing, the restoration, the forgiveness for the brokenness that goes out into our lives, into our communities, and into our families. This is the hope that we wait for. This is the hope that we put our anchor in. This is the hope that we seek after day in and day out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite our brokenness and our turning aside, despite the fact that we forget and we seek after wrong things, and that this leads to the very breaking and freezing of the world, that you have sent your Son, that he has accomplished all things, and that in time and space you deliver to us the very healing and cleansing and forgiveness that is needed to bring about the restoration of all things. Be with us, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
hear my prayer.
And let my cry unto you.
Let us pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through the prophet Jeremiah, you continued the prophetic pattern of teaching your people the true faith and demonstrating through miracles your presence in creation to heal it of its brokenness. Grant that your church may see in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the final end times prophet, whose teaching and miracles continue in your church through the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Amen.